listening to the Trust Podcast, a safe space to dialogue around disconnection and reconnections in our present time. Find out more at trustcollaboration.com.
This is a photograph of an outdoor class on a summer's day. There are four little children sitting on a rug on the grass, and they're looking at a woman who's sitting cross-legged in her blue jeans, and she's holding up a painting to show them. And the painting is of flowers and poppies, and there is a bird on the picture as well.
Welcome, everybody. And the theme of the day is sustainability education and transformative learning. I may introduce briefly the two speakers today. Manta and Hesperide are from the Damanhur community, that is a laboratory for the future of humankind. It is a community founded in 1975, and in 2005, Damanhur received the recognition from the United Nations Global Forum on Human Settlement as the model for a sustainable society. And Manta and Hesperide will be talking about their experiences there with Antje Dissertet from the Chance Center in Lisbon. Antje is an enthusiastic researcher, and she's exploring transformative processes that can support keeping human nature system in balance. So I welcome Antje, Manta and Hesperide today, and I thank them for being here. And I will ask you, maybe first Antje and then Manta and Hesperide, what emotions does this photo provoke to you?
Thank you very much, Julia. And thank you for the invitation to be here with you. So regarding the emotions that this picture evokes in me, there are two or three different types of emotion. First of all, due to the current situation of the pandemic and being in a lockdown for more than 1.5 months, this picture creates also a longing to be more outside than it is unfortunately currently possible. So longing to be in nature and also to be together in nature and not just within our small family circle, but with more people. And the other emotion also creates is something like to touch the ground, sitting on the floor, connecting with the earth, just being part of it. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, then there is also a kind of hope, probably also now due to the current situation, we might be pushed forward to use more the outdoor spaces for learning, which is so important for our children, and to learn in and with nature. And so maybe there is also this opportunity to really explore new approaches and new spaces for our learning. That's so far from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Antje. And Hesperide and Manta, what did you say?
Hi, everyone. Hesperide. So I'd like to go first. Manta, is that okay? So I found, I'd like also to reply to what Antje was saying, because I found it really interesting. And as she was speaking, I was thinking how lucky, in a sense, we are by having created a community where we have our own land and we have our own forest, and our school is actually based on the model of the, you know, the school in nature, because even though we are, of course, we have been experiencing periods of lockdown, we have much more freedom to be outdoors, and our kids have been able not to completely be disrupted in their activities outdoors. And so school and nature are very intertwined, and by having the possibility of managing our own school. We've been more flexible. Looking at the picture, I also think of the context. And so, of course, looking at it today, what it makes me think in a negative way is the fact that these children is not only that they're not going to school, but they're also deprived of the ability to have a sensory experience of touching each other, playing with each other, which is probably at that age even more important than the schooling per se. It's really how we create a social self. How do we define ourselves in relationships with others? So that, looking at it today, makes me wonder what's going to be in the future for these children. How are we going to be able to make up for this time that they're really losing when they should be really, you know, playing with each other, touching each other, not having any barriers? So that's an interesting question to ask ourselves. And on a positive note, I love in the picture the fact that the teacher is showing flowers. And for me, that symbolized the fact that in any case, the power of imagination and creativity is greater than anything we can go through. And if we are together and we continue to nourish that, we can see life flowers growing, even in a situation when we feel we are a little bit in prison.
Yeah. And I'm Manta, and I agree with Esperide thinking about these children missing these community contact, and this is the sad part. But on the other hand, I think that what is happening now is creating also increasing also the hope that in the future we can get back to this type of moment and underline and make us feel through the losing something, how important it is. So how important it is to be in connection with nature, to have a possibility to meet each other. And in this sense, these can be a representation of what we can aim as soon as possible to be back with more awareness on how important this type of moment are for everybody.
Yes, if I may add, when I was saying that we're lucky having communities and having land, I didn't mean to say, you know, in a way it's just us, but what I think it's important in these times, more and more people around the world are realizing how important it is to create stronger bonds, to create communities in every possible way so that we are actually freer, because only together we can be free.
Thank you, Esperide, for the nice positive attitude toward the future. And actually, I'm even more willing to join you and come and meet you in person when the condition will allow. And you both touched upon an issue that is very pressing now and important. It is the disconnection between the transformative learning that should be the central goal of our education institution, but the actual structure that is still full of inertias and all the teaching styles and maybe just is lacking of resources. So I will ask you some question about that central disruption, and feel free to put yourself in dialogue with each other along the answer. So the question is, how are we given support to this disruption of the actual educational system and the transformative learning that should be the aim of every learning journey? And how, for instance, we can deal with the consequences of this disruption, and what is the worst result to expect if we don't act now, and what should we be expecting? Please feel free to jump in the answer when you feel called to.
So these are complex questions and not easy to reply. So maybe we can just build these paintings together as we go and we add strokes here and there. One of the things that I feel it's very important and maybe can help mitigate the disconnect is, in whatever context children are, even if they're at home, to help them have more of a connection with their own body. So being able to really be embodied, to use dance, to use movement, not to let children spend too much time in front of a screen, because that would be the easiest thing to do. But as they experience more disconnect with each other, we can encourage them at least to have more connection to their body, their emotion, their sensation. So whenever finally the time comes to meet each other, they will be more aware of who they are and what are their boundaries, and they will be stronger. And this is the first thing. On the worst to expect, I'm a sociologist, so I've been actually studying quite a lot some of the consequences. And one of the worst things that we can expect in a generation that is deprived of this contact and this transformative way of being together is actually problems with sexuality. Big problems in being able to have normal relationships and idea of sexuality connected actually to being fully present in their body, with their spirit, with their emotion. And there are already trends. They're seeing a lot of interest for cyber sex, which it's okay, but it's not so okay when then we actually create a fantasy of the other person, because the other person is also connected to a computer and they can create whatever avatar they want, which means that the whole idea, the sexuality, is a way to connect, to merge, to become, you know, one, to merge the feminine, the masculine within us will disappear, because we will be only projecting and creating via computer our ideal partner on the other side.
That's an interesting aspect that I think I didn't even dare yet to think that far. probably also because as a mechanism of self-protection, being a mother of a 3-year-old son, of course, there are sometimes concerns how all this situation might affect the future of my child and of other children, of all the children, of course, around the globe. And I think what the aspect that you mentioned is definitely something really important to consider. And nevertheless, what I thought for myself, and what is something that we try to mitigate right now, is the fear of each other. What I can observe already now is when we are outside, this automatically stepping more away from someone if someone crosses, for example, the sidewalk or all these things, or when there are too many people in the park in a place, and it's automatically to be said, we have to stay away and be here. And so this fear of the other that can be created. And so we try to mitigate that and always contextualize. And so this is one thing that I see so far as one of a really big concern. And I think we, especially in all learning environments, we have to be really careful and aware about that, how we can then again create the necessity of proximity, of allowing exactly also these body experiences together, like hugging each other, touching each other, all these things. I think probably what is really there in front of us is really rethinking in general our learning spaces, and to see then how, first of all, also how we can create different learning spaces where we can make really deeper experiences, not only touching our intellect, but the emotions and our minds, deeper values, and so on. So I see that at the moment there is limited, or our learning environments so far are limiting, exactly making a more holistic experience, integrating the different types of knowledge that we need. And so eventually, especially by being now aware of this physical distancing for such a long time, we can also consider in the future something about that, how to mitigate that, and provide experiences really that that can bring us again closer on the different levels. That's so far. I don't want to take too much time in one answer. I have, of course, some more points, but maybe some other one Somebody, you want still to comment?
I think that your point of view is very interesting, because you point to two aspects. One is what is digital interaction and creation of an avatar of yourself and projection on others, and the other one, the connection with the body. And creating environment that are, let's say, immersive and can somehow allow children and people in general to experiment beyond themselves can be a great tool to enhance creativity and to overcome the limits and to experiment. And on the other side, the grounding and the reconnection of the body can then allow people and children to bring these characteristics and experiment made in a safe environment, if the environment is safe, to overcome their fears also when they meet in reality with others. So creating a superhero of you can help you play. It can be a different way of experimenting your creativity beyond your limits in places, in virtual places, when you can do whatever you want, and then create through other dynamics the interaction within your family, within the circle of your friends and the people around you to test that part of these, of what you created, is in you. And you can also play in your real life with the same skills and the same talents.
I think what Manta is saying is interesting, because he's adding an aspect, like it's inevitable that we live with technology, right? Yeah. I think that's what you're saying. Yes. So because it is inevitable, maybe we can find a way that we can use it to become more and not less, to overcome fear and not to separate us.
Yes. And of course, it can be easier live in a virtual world or in a virtual environment where you can be whatever you want. And really the pleasure of being in your body and enjoy your physical sensation, the happiness of a warm hug or an interaction, looking someone in the eyes without a screen in the middle, shall be really presented and make and made real through experience and dynamics and a constant remind of how important it is.
Thank you yes. Very much, Paul, for sharing. I like the tone of the conversation, because it taps really into emotions and body and present reality. So not you did not dig into the academic debate about how transformative learning should be, but actual problems and maybe solutions to create value in with what we have and with the constraints we are facing now. Do you want to add something? Because I didn't want to interrupt your flow.
But I was thinking of one important aspect that I'm more and more reflecting for myself in these current times, especially what can I personally actually do to enhance, nevertheless, transformative learning, and seeing like learning is an ongoing process for the whole life. So for myself, but also being as a researcher and an educator and a mother and family member, society member. So and the thing what I want to say is the importance of self-care and how important it is to take care of our own mind. And I think this is probably now a challenge that at least the adults now in positions of being actually like guides, may it be in the schools, universities, kindergartens, or whatever, really are confronted with this big task of taking care of ourselves first, in order that we can then provide these other spaces that we are aiming at, to provide these more holistic experiences more in stimulating learning environments and so on. And I think this has so much to do also with our own mindset. And I really feel now after this, yeah, like this 1 year of the pandemic, this big pressure on my mind and how much effort it takes me to take care actually of my own mindset and my own self-care, especially because there is limited time for it and so many other demands at the same time, and the work pressure is so high nevertheless, even though the conditions are more challenging to fulfill these work requirements. So and this I find really hard, that I sometimes think like, even I cannot, it's really also a challenge for me to even to be up to my own values, to put really my own values into practice in my daily life because of these constraints at the moment. And I think the self-care is really one important, so important aspect in order that anyone wanting to act as an educator at any level, it really always starts with us. That's again, I think the message that I learned for myself, even if that I have reflected and written researched a lot about transformative learning. And it starts with us, and we have to make this transformative experience first for ourselves, and again for ourselves, and again for ourselves, in order to be able then to create these enriching experiences or being able to create learning environments for enriching experiences for children and students. Mm. Yeah, that's one aspect I wanted to add.
Yeah, very, very important aspect, Antje. If we were here in person, I would have hugged you. So feel free to accept my virtual hug. And thank you for putting and stressing the importance of the self-care. And thank you also, Mante Desperide, for annotating important issue of nowadays young generation. On this point, I would love to hear the opinion of Maria Garcia Alvarez, that is here with us. She's the coordinator of Value Creators, that is an educational concept developed by the Windesheim-Hohner College, in which Maria and her team create an environment where students and professional networks work together around complex social issue and wicked problems related to sustainability. And so the Value Creators concept facilitates the transition from knowledge as a goal to knowledge as a tool. And maybe Maria could put two cents on the conversation from her experience.
Thank you, Julia. I'm becoming really inspired, and I can also feel this emotional connection in the conversation. And for me, it was really interesting. I think unconsciously we all knew this, but to realize it, the social distancing imposed on us through the COVID has almost forced the social distancing without ourselves. So yeah, this kind of need for reconnection with our own bodies and inside of ourselves is really interesting for me. And then the mention of technology. So the same way we have separated nature from us, like something that is outside of us, I think we have separate technology from us. And I think it was really interesting to, you know, like McLuhan said, a technology is an extension of ourselves. So to use technology to facilitate in these processes of social distancing, to reconnect at all levels or other levels. My question back to you is, how do we claim technology back, the ownership, and use the use of technology not to control us or to scare us or to separate us, but to empower us? How can we get, you know, even the fear from technology away and claim that back? I'm curious to hear your thoughts about that. And thank you for this wonderful conversation.
Yeah. This is Matt. I think it's extremely interesting what is happening with all the blockchain movement and everything that is around it, in a bigger and a wider concept of localizing and decentralizing value process, data storage, ownership of data, and all this topic, because it's really taking back the management and the development of a technology that is at service of people and not in the end of someone who decide what you see, what you do, and what you can do. This is might be the first step of a process where everybody can be part of a process of creation and not just be passive in getting what is produced by others. And in these, it will be extremely interesting to see what will happen when aspects like say virtual reality and everything that is connected to a more sensorial experience will propose to people, because this can be really an enhancement of the creation of digital connection and digital experience that can really extend to what we can do, or can be a gated cage for ourselves if created by others.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you were quoting McLuhan, and one of the interesting facets of his thought was really, for me at least, this idea that when you add a new medium to a society, you're not just adding a new medium or a new technology, you're completely changing the whole paradigm and the way the society and the people in it think and work, and that also affects the actual development of the brain. And we've seen this over the generations, how the new kids, you know, the younger kids have different brains than ours already, with different ways to interface technology. So it's very interesting to see how we can really understand this process and not just being passive to it, but really taking into our hands this transformation, who we are becoming with technology. What do we want to become? Really not waiting to see the change happened, but really understanding now that it is happening. Just like, you know, when the Roman Empire ended, they probably didn't feel they were at the end of a time, of an epoch. But I think we all feel here, with the intellectual and cultural tools we have, we do feel that we are at the end of a time, of an epoch. So as we feel that, we can also have the power of starting to look at how that will look in the future and be active in that creation.
Thank you so much, Estelle, Maria, and Manta for jumping into the topic. Also because you open the way to a final question by Alp, that is a student of Politecnico di Torino that is listening to us. And I ask Alp what feelings or what doubts or what question you would like to pose here.
Yeah, first of all, thank you very much for all the thoughts. I feel like I'm a Stone Age guy from a digital community, I can say. And first of all, like as a younger community partner of a digital world, I don't know the reason that is the black fear, I can say, behind the digital community of the current situations. But what I experienced like last year, sorry, until a year ago, I think the tool of education and technology became more like an infrastructure of a student. So we used to see technology, the digital world, as a tool, but now it became more like an intervention for us. I would like to hear from you what you think about the technology becoming more like an infrastructure, not a tool.
I would probably jump in quite spontaneously. Thank you for that question, up. I guess in a certain way, I think all the technology and processes and actually also especially how we communicate now is already becoming part of an infrastructure. I think also in regard with the digitalization in schools and in universities, it's already in the process. At the moment, the difficulty at the moment is that we see here the unequal access to use these kind of infrastructures. They are not equally yet in place, and so those without access are left behind or excluded. So this is another dimension. But I would say yes, it's not only technology here, it's not only a tool, but can really be seen as something, paving, like, making new roads, no? Making new, opening up for new things. One thing that I still had in mind, it's maybe not absolutely directly answering your question, but is I was reminded by several research pieces that exist on using, for example, virtual reality learning for fostering empathy and compassion. So even being in a virtual learning environment, we can also use that to reflect on our attitudes and our values, worldviews, and can actually also enhance our empathy towards the world, can be towards each other, towards nature, or even helping us to understand that everything is actually interconnected and we are just part of nature. So eventually also that might be another road that can help us overcoming the current distances. So far I stop here in order to give others also the chance to.
Thank you so much, Antje.
I think the accessibility topic on technology is really interesting, not to create any digital device and access to resources. And another topic, it's not only related to structures, but also to education in the use of technology. Probably now many children and young people is using technology that their parents doesn't understand completely. And this can be another structural aspect to evaluate and to support conscious adoption. The topic of the sense of compassion, of wonder and empathy in virtual worlds is extremely interesting, because what you feel in a virtual environment, and is something that is not connected to your body, can help you to make you feel more connected with others also in these environments, and maybe also to things and to nature, if you then let part of your time to exercise and to experiment in real environment what you do. The topic of accessing structural tools is actually fundamental, and we speak from a valley in North Italy with local bandwidth and poor infrastructure. So we perceive it really the importance of this.
What I find fascinating, and it's maybe more on the philosophical aspect, or like the study of then what is reality? Because now we are saying virtual reality because it's a new thing. But the moment in which this will become part of our experience, that probably will just be reality. It's just a different vibration of reality. So then we really need to ask ourselves, what is that defines reality for us? Is it the sensations of our body? Is it how we connect to those sensations and those emotions? I think we are really at the threshold of something enormous here. The whole, you know, a new definition of what is the human being, what is the environment, what are the different dimensions we can participate in fully, and in the end, what is it that defines us and our relationships? And I suspect that being able to be present, self-care, which to me also translates into authenticity, all that Andrew was saying before that I really resonate with, will be very important. And we will define ourselves more and more in the relationships with others. Because otherwise, we won't have the normal boundaries of reality. So how do we define ourselves if not in an exchange of values and emotions with others?
There's so much wisdom in these words, Esteride. Thank you so much. You are actually paving the way for the final 5 minutes meditation that Valerie is kindly offering us. So I may leave the floor to Valerie for guiding us in this 5 minutes meditation on self-perception, I guess.
Thank you very much for this very interesting dialogue. And I wanted to say that my part now is bringing back the body to this conversation. But as I could feel, is already all the words were touching. We're touching people, we're touching bodies. And I would like to intensify what we have been feeling now. And I would like to invite you for meditation using the breathing. Breathing as a very needed life ingredient and as a communication. So I invite you, if you're standing, you can sit down on a seat, or you can keep standing. And I just invite you to feel your feet on the ground. Just feel how your feet are touching the ground. Just feel the ground. How is the ground where you're standing, where you're sitting? How much does this ground touch you, and how much do you touch this ground? And I invite you now to breathe fully. Breathe up to your chest as much as you can. And while you exhale, just let everything just go. Drop the shoulders, drop the face, drop your legs, and just let everything go down on the body, on the feet, on the ground. And again, just breathe in deeply. Take in the breathing and let it out as much as you can. And I invite you, so each time that you breathe in, just to give yourself this self-care you were talking about, this possibility of breathing fresh air and letting go all this air, the old air, while you breathe out. And let's just keep some breathings, feeling your body, feeling yourself, feeling being your body and not only your mind. And it starts with us. Even if the mind brings us to chatting, just come back to the breathing and just keep with your feet on the ground. As we saw in the photo, this ground, nature, touching. And I would love to add a little note to it. So each time you breathe in, as you would breathe in and let in all the words and everything of all the people within this space, this vitreal space, and each time you breathe out, as if you would just bring in everything of you to the same space. So each time you breathe in, you let everything come into you. And each time you breathe out, you bring in all of you to the space. And keep breathing, letting in and letting out. And you might feel a sensation of connection much better than before. Or you might feel something else, which is also all right. And feel your feet on the ground, soil, the same soil we're sharing in the shared space. And with the next breathing, you can open up your eyes again if you have closed them. And you can come back to this shared space with your attention on everybody else. And I would love to invite now each of you to close this podcast with three words that come up to your mind of this experience of the whole podcast. So maybe, Alp, would you like to start?
Yes, I can do it. Thank you very much for this great speech that has really fulfilled my mind. I would say that social participation and free self-expression, and I can say creativity, are my three keywords. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Antje, would you like to continue?
Yes, thank you. My three words are positively surprised, feeling connected, and getting excited about what really is to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Antje. Esperit and Manta, I invite you also to say your three words.
The three words that I think I'll keep with me also from this conversation is for sure nature, authenticity, and evolution.
Mine, hope, connection, and renovation.
Lovely, thank you very much.
Okay, we can say we can close the first episode then. Thank you very much.